The scripture reading this morning is Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times." Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever be seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The word of the Lord. Please be seated.
Many of you have favorite Christmas movies that you enjoy watching during the weeks leading up to Christmas, and perhaps one of the all-time favorites is the movie A Christmas Story from 1983, where the main character, Ralph, fantasizes about getting a Red Ryder air rifle. And in one of the iconic scenes in the movie, Ralph receives a secret decoder ring in the mail. And he listens to his favorite radio program, because at the end of that program, a secret code is giving out with numbers or letters. And so he writes it all down, and he's super excited. He runs into the bathroom so he can have privacy in there. And with sweaty hands and his family banging on the door, trying to get in, he quickly deciphers the code. And to his dismay, the message reads, "Drink your Ovaltine." And Ralph says to himself, "I can't believe that this entire mission ends up being a crummy commercial." And as I think about today's passage in Mark, it's about a parable, the parable of the sower. And in many ways, it is a secret code, a mysterious message with a hidden meaning. And what I want to show you today in this passage is how Jesus, he gives us the decoder ring to understand the parable. And the message of the parable, far from being a crummy commercial, it contains really the secret to living an abundant life. And so what I want to do this morning is just ask two really simple questions. Number one, what is a parable? And then number two, what is the message of this parable? So what's a parable and what is the message of this parable? So let's start with the first question. What is a parable? And I just want to point out three things that you need to know about parables. And the first one is this. Parables are stories with a hidden meaning. Parables are stories with a hidden meaning. And sometimes people define a parable by saying it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But a better definition, I think, is that parables are earthly stories with a hidden meaning. Not necessarily a heavenly meaning, but a hidden meaning. In other words, one of the primary purposes of a parable is to give a message in a secret code. You might say that a parable is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside of an enigma. And this is why in verse 10, after Jesus tells the parable of the sower, the disciples and certain members of the crowd, they have no idea what he's talking about. They don't know what it means. They have to ask him. Let me share with you what I think is may or may not be a helpful analogy, but some of you are familiar with the film director Stanley Kubrick. He passed away, I think, in the late 90s, but he is considered one of the most brilliant and even the greatest filmmaker in history. Some of his films include films like Spartacus and 2001, Space Odyssey, Clockwork Orange, The Shining, Full Metal Jacket, and many more. I think he made over 30-some films. But one of the things that Kubrick is known for, especially in his later films, is he had this ability to tell two stories simultaneously. And so on one level, you might say the surface level, there was a very accessible and obvious story that anybody could watch and understand what the movie was about. But underneath, brilliantly, in a hidden way, he would tell another simultaneous story. It had a secret, subversive narrative. And he would tell this story through symbols and hidden dialogue. And to this day, people watch his movies over and over and over again. And there are all kinds of YouTube channels and essays and articles about his movies where people are trying to find out what the hidden message is that's beneath the surface of this obvious message. And once you watch some of these documentaries or YouTube channels, and trust me, I've gone down this rabbit hole before, you end up thinking to yourself, it's so obvious. Why didn't I see it the first time? How is that hidden from me? Well, parables, you see, they work the same way. There's an apparent, obvious, accessible story. But underneath that story is a hidden, secret message. So that's the first point, is parables are stories with a hidden message. But number two, parables reveal Jesus' message to some people, and they conceal Jesus' message to other people. So they have this ability to reveal and conceal at the same time. And so, for example, in this passage, Jesus tells the parable, and then he explains the parable, but in between those two sections, there's this section about what parables are and how they work. And in verses 11 through 12, when Jesus is asked about parables, he says this, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." So notice, on the one hand, through these parables, Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom is given to you. In other words, it's revealed. But then he says, on the other hand, to those who are outsiders, to those who are unwilling or uninterested in believing in Jesus' message, they don't see, they don't hear. Everything remains hidden and concealed. And so here's another example maybe of how this works. In the early centuries of Christianity, Christians were persecuted. They were put to death. They were fed to the lions and burned at the stake. And so one of the things that Christians did was they tried to keep sometimes their Christianity a secret from those who might hurt them. And one of the things they did was they developed this secret symbol. It was the symbol of a fish. And many of you, of course, this is very popular today, the symbol of the Christian fish. But inside of that fish, they put the Greek word for fish, ichthys, ichthys. And it was an acronym. It stood for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. They took the letters of the word fish and made an acronym of it. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. And this secret symbol would mark their secret meeting places. And it was also a way sometimes of identifying who, if you were a Christian, or identifying another Christian. And so what would happen is you'd be walking down the road, and if you were to meet someone and you weren't sure if they were a Christian, is this person setting out to hurt me or harm me, or are they a Christian? And so you would take a stick, perhaps, and you'd draw an arc, half of the fish in the dirt. And if that other person were a Christian, they would then write the other form of the arc, thus forming a fish. And then you would know that they're a Christian. And so you think about that. Today, everybody who uses a Christian fish, they put it on their business card, on the back of their car bumper, and it's a way of telling the whole world, I'm a Christian, and everybody knows that when they see the sign. But originally, that's not the way it worked. The original Christian fish was a secret sign. And the way it worked, and so you see the parallel with the parable, to those who were on the inside, who were Christians, it revealed, I'm a Christian. But to those who were on the outside, perhaps those who intended to bring harm to Christians, it concealed the fact that they were a Christian. And so parables, they work the same way. To those on the inside, Jesus says, those who are interested in hearing about the kingdom of God, who are willing to receive the message from Jesus, these stories, they reveal hidden truths. But to those on the outside who weren't interested in hearing Jesus' message, or worse, who were perhaps wanting to harm his followers or even put him to death, at this moment, Jesus says, it's not my time. My hour has not yet come. And so he concealed these truths in parables. So number two, parables reveal and conceal. Number three, the last thing I want to mention about parables in general is just that the message of a parable, we've seen that it's a hidden message, a secret message, it's only revealed by God alone. So again, look at verse 10. Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. And then in verses 13 through 20, he proceeds to explain the meaning of the parable. He gives it to them. And Jesus' point is that you can't understand the hidden meaning of a parable apart from God. It's not dependent on your intellect or your education or your witty ability to solve riddles. Understanding the meaning of a parable comes from God alone. Jesus says, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. It's not something that you derived on your own. It's a gift of God's grace. And so to summarize, what is a parable? Parables are stories with a hidden message. Number two, the message of the parable is revealed to some, but concealed to others. And then three, the message is revealed by God as a gift. So what's a parable? Second question, what is the meaning of this parable? And so in verses 1 through 8, Jesus tells the parable of a sower. And he talks about how there is a farmer who sows seed, and this seed falls on four different kinds of soil. Some of it lands on the path, some on rocky places, some amidst the thorns, and then some on good soil. And the first three types of surfaces, they don't produce a crop at all. It's only the fourth, the last surface, the good soil that produces a harvest. And so then, in the last part of this passage, in verses 13 through 20, Jesus explains the meaning of the parable. And he says that the seed represents what? It represents God's word. And the soils represent different kinds of people. It represents different kinds of people's hearts. And he says the first three kinds of people, ultimately, they don't really hear God's word. They might hear it, but they don't really understand it. In one sense, in each of those first three soils, ultimately, God's word goes in one ear and out the other. And then he says it's only the fourth kind of person, represented by the good soil, that really hears God's word, receives it, accepts it, puts it into practice, and produces fruit in their lives. Now, a lot of times when we hear this parable, we think to ourselves, okay, so the moral of the story is to really pay attention to God's word when it's read, when it's preached, and pray that God would produce a fruit in your life from that word. And that's all very true. At one level, that's very much what this parable is talking about. But what I want to point out this morning is that Jesus is talking about more than that. It's not less than that, but it's certainly more than that. And ultimately, what I want to show here is Jesus is telling this parable about himself in his day, in his time, and what's happening in the very moment that he's speaking. And I just want to give you two reasons why we know this is the case. Okay, so just two reasons how we know that Jesus is telling this parable about himself and what's happening in that moment as he's inaugurating the kingdom. So the first reason is this. In the Old Testament, God describes himself as a sower, a farmer who plants seed. And I can read you verse after verse giving you examples of this, but let me just give you a couple. For example, in Jeremiah 31, verses 27 and 28, God says, "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down, so I will watch over them to build and to plant." Or again in Ezekiel 36:9, "I am concerned for you and will look on you with favor. You will be plowed and sown." And then Hosea 2, verse 23, "I will plant her," he's talking about Israel, "I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called not my loved one." And this is what's important to understand about each of these verses. In each of these verses, Israel is about to be attacked or has been attacked. They're about to be carried into exile, abandoned, taken out of the land. And what God is doing here is he's promising, "I'm going to bring you back." That's one of the promises that reverberates throughout the entire Old Testament. "I'm going to bring you back." And when God in the Old Testament gives that promise, he says, "I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make all things new." And when I do that, when that day finally comes, it won't just be about you, Israel. In fact, all the nations will come to me. I will renew the world. Not just Israel will come to worship God. And so the language he uses to describe that event again and again in the Old Testament is that of a sower sowing seed. And in fact, and I think this is beautiful, God promises in the Old Testament that he will bring about that event through the power of his word. And some of you are familiar with this passage I'm about to read. It's from Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. Listen to this. See if it matches the parable. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When God says this in the Old Testament, he's not talking just about what his word does in general, that it goes out, it always produces a crop, it doesn't return to me empty. That's true, but in this passage, in Isaiah 55, God is talking about how there will come a day when my word will go out and I'll make all things new. I will renew and restore. And so, in the parable of the sower, Jesus is saying this. He's saying, all those Old Testament promises, they're coming true right now, before your very eyes, in this moment. The end time sower has arrived, and I am the sower. I'm making all things new before your eyes. Do you have the eyes to see it? Do you have the ears to hear it? That's what Jesus is saying. In the Old Testament, God describes himself as a sower, and Jesus is saying, it's arrived. So that's the first reason we know that Jesus is talking about himself in this parable. The second reason we know this is that the parable of the sower, it describes how people respond to Jesus himself in the book of Mark, in the Gospels. And so when I began this sermon series, I said, the book of Mark is really about two things. It really asks two questions. Number one, who is Jesus? And it's about answering that question. And the second question that's asked throughout the book of Mark is, how do people respond to Jesus? And it begs the question, how are you going to respond to Jesus? How do people respond to Jesus? And if you read through the Gospel of Mark, one of the things that you'll notice is that people respond to him like the seeds falling on the four different kinds of soils. Some respond to Jesus and his message and his miracles and his healing like seeds that fall on the path where the birds, symbolizing Satan, come and snatch that word away. And in the Gospel of Mark, the religious leaders respond this way. They want to almost immediately destroy and kill Jesus. They hatch a plot to murder him. They say he's working for Satan. Other people in Mark's gospel, they're like seeds sown on rocky ground. They're excited at first. They follow him. But then when trouble comes, they fall away. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see the crowds are sometimes like this. But ultimately, one of the things we see is that the disciples themselves are like this. When Jesus calls them, they're excited. They immediately leave their nets, they leave their jobs, and they follow him. They're excited. They think they found the Messiah. They receive the message with joy. But then in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is taken away, they all scatter. They desert him. Peter denies him. And so even there we see that sometimes we are different kinds of soil at different times of our lives. Other people in the Gospel of Mark, they're like seeds sown among the thorns, which represent desire for riches and wealth and security. And in Mark 10, a rich young ruler comes up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Sell everything and follow me. I'm the Messiah. I'm the sower. Will you leave it all for me?" And we're told that the thorns choke out his heart. He goes away sad. He can't do it. He produces no fruit. And so all these people throughout the Gospel of Mark, they have one thing in common. They think, and you have to understand the mindset of the time, they think, yes, a Messiah will come, but when he comes, he's going to explode onto the world stage in a blaze of glory. And he's going to come in power with a sword, and he's going to conquer our enemies. They had no idea that the way the Messiah would ultimately bring about his victory was through humility persecution, suffering, death. They didn't have the eyes to see it. They didn't have the ears to hear it. It was unthinkable, unimaginable that God would bring about his kingdom that way. What a mystery. And that really then hones in on the point of this parable. Do you see it? Just as the parable itself is a mystery that can be revealed to you by God alone, so also, in fact, is the gospel message itself a mystery that can only be understood and received by God's grace alone. Sometimes we say the medium is the message, meaning that the way you communicate something affects the actual message that you're communicating. And in this case, we see that the medium is the message. The medium of mystery communicates the message of the mystery of the gospel. Jesus says, only by God's grace can you understand a parable. And only by God's grace can you become like the seed that lands on the good soil. Only by God's grace can you see your need for a dying Savior. Only by God's grace can you see that Jesus is your dying Savior. But Jesus also says that that grace is yours for the asking. Later in the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. And what I think is particularly beautiful is that right now in this Christmas season during Advent, we celebrate the mystery of mysteries. We celebrate the fact that this word, this parable, is about the word that goes out, this message of the gospel. We celebrate that this word that's sown in the soil somehow, unimaginably, mysteriously becomes a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh. The incarnation, mystery of mysteries. You see, this parable of the sower, it really is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. It's a riddle about the glorious mystery of the gospel message and the indescribable, glorious enigma of the incarnation. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we recognize that we come to you so often like the three soils that Jesus first mentions. We don't see how suffering, persecution, trials, hardship, even death can bring about your kingdom in the person of Jesus and just in our own lives. So, Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear that you're working in the midst of our hardship and suffering just as you work through the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. I'll invite the servers to come forward for communion at this time.